Dr. William Luther Pierce on Defending America from Saddam Hussein, 1996.
Hello. Mr. Clinton's recent decision to slam a few dozen more cruise missiles into Iraq, move more U.S. Navy units into the Persian Gulf, and step up U.S. meddling in Iraq's internal affairs should go down well with Jewish voters and help him in the November election. Even some non-Jewish voters proclaim themselves favorably impressed. They believe that Mr. Clinton's saber rattling against Iraq shows toughness and even a degree of patriotism, both of which he sorely lacked when he was afraid that he would be called on to serve his country during the Vietnam War. Well, I'm not favorably impressed. I'm sickened to listen to news commentators talking about how it's necessary to defend America against Saddam Hussein. Really, defend America against Saddam Hussein. Well, we know who pays the media commentators to tell such whoppers. You know, I'm no fan of Saddam Hussein's or of any of those greasy Middle Easterners. I don't like Arabs. I don't like Persians. I don't like Egyptians or Jews. I'd really enjoy seeing Saddam Hussein and Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu each being given an ice pick and then locked in a small room together to fight it out. But I don't enjoy seeing my country and its resources and its people being used to kill the people of other countries just because that's what Mr. Netanyahu wants. And I don't enjoy hearing the government of my country ask how high every time the government of Israel says jump. I really hate it. I'm not against military actions when they serve America's needs. Back in the 1960s and 1970s, when Bill Clinton and his pals were demonstrating in the streets for the Viet Cong, I was demonstrating for the support of our troops. I'm not even against my country interfering in the affairs of other countries. I don't pretend to believe in respecting the sovereign rights of every little hopped-up third world non-entity of a country which has been recognized by the United Nations. I don't like or respect the United Nations, but I like even less the hypocrisy of those who claim to love the UN and claim to be opposed to gunboat diplomacy, international bullying, and the like, and at the same time support the sort of thing the Clinton government is doing to Iraq. Suppose the government told us, hey, we have to rotate our stock of cruise missiles. Use up the older ones so we can add some newer models to the inventory. And besides, our missile people need the practice of shooting at live targets. Iraqis are expendable, so why not shoot at them for practice? If the government told us that, I wouldn't like it, but it still would be better than having them tell us with a straight face that they're shooting missiles at Iraq to defend America from Saddam Hussein, or that they're doing it because Saddam Hussein doesn't respect the human rights of the Kurdish minority in his country. Yeah, sure. And when will we fire a few cruise missiles into Israel because of the way the Jews treat the Palestinians there? When will we send the U.S. Army in to force the Jews out of Lebanon and out of Syria and out of the other territories that even the United Nations recognize they have no right to be in? When will we force the Jews to allow U.N. inspection teams in to check for nuclear weapons? So why do I object to this sort of hypocrisy? Don't I know that hypocrisy and democracy are inseparable? Why don't I just go along with the crowd and cheer every time Mr. Clinton fires another salvo of missiles into Iraq? Why don't I just wave the flag and not question his motives? The reason is this. If people permit their government to lie to them, if people tolerate hypocrisy from their government, if people don't care about the motives of their government, then they certainly will lose their freedom. In fact, people who tolerate the sort of behavior we're seeing now on the part of the Clinton government have no right to be free, and probably not much desire to be free either. They're people who don't really care. Free people, people worthy of freedom, demand honesty from their government. If the government is just rotating its cruise missile stock and getting in a little live target practice at the same time, let's hear that from the government. And if the government is punishing the Iraqis for not liking Jews, let's hear that too. But please, no more of that baloney that we're doing it to defend America from Saddam Hussein or to make him treat his Kurdish minority better. The facts are these. Saddam Hussein poses no threat at all to the United States. He never has and he never will. Everyone in the world with half a brain understands that. Saddam Hussein would not be a threat to the United States even if he had nuclear weapons and nerve gas factories. Saddam Hussein's wildest ambitions and most vainglorious fantasies are all restricted to the Middle East. Now, he is pretty rough on the Kurds when they get rebellious, which is most of the time. The Turks are pretty rough on their minorities too, including the Kurds. But we never hear the controlled media or the politicians in Washington whining about that, because they don't really care what happens to the Kurds. There's no doubt that Saddam hates the United States, of course, but he has plenty of reason for that. We invaded his country, slaughtered his citizens, bombed his capital, and then we told him that he couldn't move his army around inside his own country to deal with internal problems, and he couldn't fly his own aircraft over large areas of his own territory. We sent our CIA into his country to stir up rebellions against him and try to instigate his own citizens to assassinate him. And we represent ourselves as peacekeepers in the Middle East. What we really are is the Jews' bully boys. The Jews see Saddam as a threat to Israel, sort of a loose cannon in their backyard. Saddam has given indications that he would like to be the great liberator of the Middle East, the hero who can put a final end to Jewish depredations there. Now, the Jews are accustomed to taking preemptive moves in order to keep their neighbors in the Middle East subservient. But they are not accustomed to acting without having America as their shield, supplying the money, the weapons, and the diplomatic pressure, and if necessary, taking the casualties. When the Jews bombed Iraq's nuclear reactor in 1981, they used American jets and American bombs, and they had the assurance that America would protect them if the Iraqis struck back. When the United States blitzed Baghdad with cruise missiles and invaded Iraq in 1991, the excuse used was that we were restoring democracy to Kuwait, a sheikdom which had never known democracy and which was, in fact, a former province of Iraq. The real reason for the Gulf War, however, was that the Israelis were concerned that Iraq, under Saddam, was becoming too strong and needed to be put down. Not willing to take on that job themselves, they had us do it for them. Now they think that this is a good time for us to do it again. It's really amazing. They had us impose an economic embargo on Iraq after the Gulf War, which has had a devastating effect on Iraq's economy and has caused enormous hardship and suffering among the Iraqi people, including a huge increase in the death rate for Iraqi infants and young children. I remember seeing a television interview with Madeleine Albright recently. She's the Jewess who represents the United States at the United Nations. The interview was on 60 Minutes, a very widely watched program. When queried about the effects of the embargo on Iraq's children and given information about how many of them had died as a result, this horrid, arrogant Jewess replied that it was a small price to pay to keep pressure on Saddam Hussein. Imagine this scenario instead. The Israelis refuse to withdraw from illegally occupied Arab territory, so the United Nations imposes an embargo on Israel. The Israelis then complain about how many Jewish babies are dying from the effects of the embargo. And a prominent member of the Clinton administration remarks during a widely viewed television interview that that's a small price to pay to make Netanyahu behave. You can't imagine that, can you? It's just too far from the realm of possibility. You know, it's funny. When I'm on interview programs and I talk about the vast power the Jews in America wield through their control of the news and entertainment media, I'm often contradicted by the interviewers with claims that the Jews don't have any disproportionate power, that they're just like everyone else, Baptist or Methodist, for example, with no more power or control over the government than anyone else. We saw the same sort of reaction a couple of months ago when Marlon Brando was being interviewed on the Larry King show, and he mentioned the Jewish control of Hollywood. The Jews and all of their collaborators were denouncing Brando as an anti-Semite and claiming that the Jews are no more powerful in Hollywood than any other ethnic group. Now, that may be the politically correct thing to say, but it clearly is not factual, and every knowledgeable person knows it. People who understand how the world works, or at least how the power structure in the United States works, knows that the Jews, through their control of the news and entertainment media, control the political process in this country to a very large degree. Every politician understands that, and that's why they all jump, Republicans as well as Democrats, when the Jews whistle. That's why a horrible Jewess like Madeleine Albright can casually dismiss the death of thousands of Iraqi children caused by the embargo on trade with Iraq as a small price to pay, and no one will call her to account for it. It's why Mr. Clinton, as the election approaches, sends death and destruction by way of cruise missiles into Iraq and orders the Iraqis not to deal with internal problems in their own country. And Mr. Dole dares not criticize him for it. Now, as I've already said, I don't care much for any of the people in the Middle East, and so I won't pretend to feel very sorry for the Iraqis. If vital American interests are served by killing Iraqis, then kill them. But I don't like being used to kill the Jews' enemies for them and then being lied to about it. I don't like hearing that the reason we are firing missiles into Iraq and starving Iraqi children to death is to defend America from Saddam Hussein. The people who spread that lie, whether they're media bosses or Democratic or Republican politicians, are hurting America. They are degrading America, cheapening America. And ordinary Americans who repeat that lie because they just don't think, or because they're afraid of being considered anti-Semitic, are hurting America too. Tolerating lying and tolerating hypocrisy isn't good for a country. It's not patriotic to support a politician who claims that he's defending America from Saddam Hussein, when it's painfully obvious that America doesn't need to be defended from Saddam Hussein. America needs to be defended from the people on whose behalf we're starving Iraqi children and firing cruise missiles at Saddam. America needs to be defended from the people who control our news and entertainment media and use that control to manipulate public opinion and the electoral process to their advantage and to the disadvantage of everyone else. And America needs to be defended from the politicians who are all too happy to do the bidding of the media bosses. A politician who will allow his country's armed forces to be used the way America's armed forces are being used now is an enemy of the American people. Mr. Clinton is an enemy of America today just as much as he was 25 years ago when he was demonstrating in the streets on behalf of the Viet Cong and Ho Chi Minh. And Bob Dole is an enemy of America too, even though he never demonstrated for the communists like Bill Clinton did, because Bob Dole will not stand up to the Jews. He just parrots the same lie Bill Clinton does about how we're defending America from Saddam Hussein, because he knows that's what the Jews expect of him. And he's never, in his entire political career, refused to do what the Jews expected of him, regardless of the consequences for America. Defending America from Saddam Hussein is not the only thing Mr. Clinton and Mr. Dole are talking about these days. They're both also talking about standing up for family values. And at the same time, Mr. Clinton has broken new ground in upholding family values. He has put American women into combat roles in his campaign to win Jewish favor by killing Iraqis. He has had American women join in the killing. Killing the enemies of the Jews is no longer a job just for American men. Now American women get their share of the bloody work too. We've all been treated recently to the television spectacle of the grinning young blonde Navy woman boasting that she has been firing cruise missiles into Iraq. She has been the one pushing the firing button and then tracking the missile until it slams into its target in Iraq, bringing death and destruction. The TV commentator was very proud of her. Bill Clinton was very proud of her too. Teaching young American women to be proud of being allowed to share in the killing. That's Mr. Clinton's idea of standing up for family values. And I haven't heard a word of dissent from Mr. Dole. Have you? You know, if Americans will believe that we need to defend America from Saddam Hussein by starving Iraqi babies and firing cruise missiles into Iraq, then I suppose they'll also believe that encouraging young women to become military school cadets and career military officers and to be proud of being allowed to have combat roles and to kill people is supporting family values. You know, and I know, that what Mr. Clinton is doing in having women fire missiles at Iraqis is going after the radical feminist vote. He doesn't give a damn about family values. And I'm afraid that Mr. Dole doesn't either, at least not enough to risk offending the feminists and the Jews by speaking out against putting American women into combat. It's a crazy, upside-down world we're all living in these days. It's what comes from tolerating liars and hypocrites in high places. It's what comes from a lack of civic courage and honesty. It's what happens when people abdicate their responsibilities as citizens and just go with the flow, chanting whatever slogans they hear on TV and never asking the questions that need to be asked. Questions like, why do we need to defend America from Saddam Hussein when he can't possibly hurt us? Why should we encourage young women to abandon their traditional responsibilities as nurturers and become warriors instead? Why do we let Jews and feminists set our government's policies? Well, enough of that. Let's look on the bright side. Not everyone is going with the flow. Not everyone is chanting the mindless slogans about defending America from Saddam Hussein. Not everyone is happy with Mr. Clinton's approach to family values. Some people do take their responsibilities as citizens seriously. And many of those people are with us now in this radio audience. And the important thing, the really important thing, is that the number of these genuine patriots is growing. As the lies of the media and the politicians become more and more outrageous, more thoughtful and responsible people will begin asking the right questions. As the government's policies become more and more destructive, not only destructive to family values, but also destructive to everything else in our society, more real Americans will withdraw their support from the government and from the politicians. The destruction will continue. The nuttiness will continue. The lies and hypocrisy will continue. The Jews and the politicians are too committed to their course to change now. But also, the number of decent and sensible people who refuse to go along with them will grow. And there will come a time when there are enough of us to put a halt to the destruction and an end to the destroyers. Write to me, and I'll tell you about some of the things we can do now to help that time come sooner. Thanks for listening.